Hello, listeners. I'm Allie, and this is Quad Pro Quo. As always, I'm joined by my three co-hosts, Tammy.
Hello.
Matt.
Hello there.
Oh, God. And Guido.
Hi.
We're in the final week of Quad Pro Quo Sequels One. Thanks again to Brett Parker at Dissect That Film for suggesting the theme. At the end of the episode, we will rank all four movies. That's going to be a tougher. So we did sequels based off movies right on the pod, but if we were just doing sequels, what sequel would you guys have done?
Wait, any sequel?
Yeah. If we were just doing sequels month.
I'm going to go with Roadhouse 2. And then
that's a remake.
Schindler's List 2.
Oh, Lord.
Schindler's Pissed.
Okay. Amazing.
Well, I mean, elephant in the room would be Empire Strikes Back.
I suppose. I wasn't thinking that, but that's fine. Well,
I mean, you're saying sequels. That's literally quite possibly the greatest sequel ever made.
I know, but that doesn't mean you'll pick it.
Dune 2 was one of the best sequels
I've ever seen.
What about
Terminator 2? That was a good sequel.
You see, that's the thing. That's the thing that is...
I like Terminator 2 more. He likes the regular Terminator.
Yeah, that's a divided house here.
I'm
and
with you,
in,
Tam.
And in my family. Don't get me wrong. I love Terminator 2. I think it's a great sequel.
He hates that kid.
I hate kids. You're right.
Yeah.
I hate children.
It's a good sequel, though.
It's a great sequel, but I also just preferred Arnold as a bad guy. I preferred Arnold going in and shooting up a bunch of cops instead of going, "Now I know why you cry, and it's something I can never do."
You know, when you say it like that?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I already did The Dark
Knight. You already did The Dark Knight.
Well, I mean, it's not a sequel. It's a threequel. I've always wanted to do The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly.
I do Adam's Family Values.
Ooh, that is a good one.
It's, in my opinion, better than the original.
Same.
It's better than the original.
No, I agree with you on that.
Me.
Sautéed or barbecued.
Eat me.
We once were pets, but now we're food.
Eat us.
We won't stay fresh for very long. I love that. It's also just, I mean, Joan Cusack. I mean, it's just not even funny. And then you get Carol Kane as Grandmama instead of the Grandmama from the first movie, who was fine, but Carol Kane as Grandmama is like the best.
Oh, she's hilarious.
She's so funny. And I just love that cute little demon baby. He's so cute with his little mustache. Even when he turns blonde, he's adorable.
That baby could get its own movie.
That baby was so cute.
Angelica Houston. And what's the guy that plays...
Raul Julia.
Yeah, they're just...
They are the best.
Lovely.
They're so good. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. They are so good.
And Christopher Lloyd.
I know.
Oh, my God.
Another one. Yeah, now it's just coming rapid fire. But, like, I'd probably do The Devil's Rejects.
Ugh.
That was a great sequel. That was so much better than House of 1000 Corpses. It was the best use of Freebird I've ever seen in a movie, though.
Yeah, people do like that. What about you, Guido? Was that your serious answer, Roadhouse 2?
Oh. I'm telling you, Tremors 2 is the best fucking...
Oh, it's up there?
It's better than Tremors 1, 100%.
Yeah? Jamie, did you have one? Mm-hmm. Or am I coming at you? I looked up what are the best rated sequels...
Aliens. There you go.
Yeah. Okay. That's
one where I prefer it over the first one.
You do, and I don't. Yeah. Well, I looked up the best rated sequels, and this is on Rotten Tomatoes. Do you want to guess what it was?
Godfather Part 2.
No.
Lord of the Rings.
This is with 100% Rotten Tomatoes score. Not necessarily critics pick.
Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers.
Terminator.
No.
Paddington 2.
Boom.
Fuck off.
Paddington 2.
Maybe you want to be a better man.
Paddington 2.
Maybe you want to be a better man.
It was Paddington 2.
That's so stupid.
It has 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Maybe, I know we were saying, like, we were spitballing around June, just, like, not doing as many episodes or whatever. Maybe we should all
just watch Paddington 2.
Sit down in honor of Cage Match, you know, because Nicolas Cage talked about it.
Why don't we just do that next Cage Match? We just all watch Paddington 2.
I'm fine with that.
He's not actually in it.
I know. We'll do it as a supplementary episode. Well, speaking of you hating children, you did ask me before we sat down and watched Guido's pick, are there kids in this fucking movie? And I said, no, there are not.
Kids are not fucking in this movie.
There are kids in the first one. There are not kids in the second one. Guido, tell us your pick for sequels month.
All right, shit dicks. Here we go.
Oh, my God.
So Tremors 2 is the movie I've chosen.
They lay dormant for years, waiting for the chance to appear once again. Now they're back, and they'll find you no matter where you try to hide. And only a team of dedicated professionals can stop them.
We need someone, an expert, to eliminate these creatures, to go graboid hunting.
This time, they're prepared.
Preparing to fire.
You smoked his ass.
Doing what I can with what I got.
This time, They're motivated.
50,000 for each Graboid. You've got a deal.
This time, they're one step ahead.
Get off the ground!
There's only one problem. This time, the worms have turned.
Something's wrong with our worm, Earl.
Came out in 96, but it was, you know, filmed in 94. Directed by S.S. Wilson. And I've seen it a lot, but what did you think when I chose the movie, Allie?
You know, I have seen it quite a bit, too. Also, I did Tremors for Creature Feature Month. I had seen it. I used to watch it quite a bit. And I was excited to watch it again because it had been a while.
Sweet! Tammy, have you seen it?
Like I said on the last episode, I've seen Tremors movies many times. I couldn't tell you which ones they are, what order I've seen them in, or what actually occurred in the movie because I was not paying attention. It was background noise.
Tremor's gonna tremor. Got it.
So there we go.
Matt.
I mean, yeah, you told me about it. I was really looking forward to it, getting to see Michael Gross again. Interesting pairing with Jamie Kennedy in the movie. And it was weird. They're in South Africa in this movie?
What movie did you watch, Matt?
Oh, well, I watched Tremors 5.
No, he okay. did.
By That's the wrong movie, Matt.
Oh, man. Oh, if only there was somebody that said something multiple times about which movie you needed to watch beforehand.
Well, I'm glad we got this out of the way at the beginning.
We were actually going to watch Tremors 5 just to like have a fruitful knowledge of it, but you had to pay for it.
You had to pay for it more than
the joke isn't worth the money?
No. Because I wanted to watch the fourth one that goes back in time, and then the one after
goes
Tremors.
Back in time?
Tremors 6 is in ice.
Oh,
funny enough,
my mother probably has seen all of them.
They were all more expensive than
Tremors 2.
Renting the actual second one, but in all reality, I was not looking forward to it.
I don't think
Thank
you liked
for your
Tremors.
Honesty.
Well, I think I love Potion Number 9, the first one.
You did. I don't really think you enjoy Tremors.
I did not.
Yeah.
Because of those fucking kids.
You did. You hated those kids.
Those meddling kids.
Well, it's just really that one kid.
Yeah, that one kid sucks.
That's why you hated Captain Ron.
It's just the one kid, actually.
Because of that kid.
In Captain Ron, those two kids suck.
You just hate kids, bro. Here we go. You can
Tremors
have it.
Tremors 2.
Tremors 2, both barrels.
Aftershock.
It cost $4 million and made $16 million, Tammy.
Wow.
That's impressive.
Good. So there's
Good
that.
For that.
With all this great CGI, I how can't many? Believe it cost so little.
Again, recorded in 94.
How much,
give it a break.
How much yen did it make?
So it stars...
Or pesos.
Fred Ward. He reprises his role as Earl Bassett.
RSVP.
Were you turned on by him in this sequel, Tammy? Because you did like him in the first one.
I don't think she liked him with the Sam Elliott long haircut. I think she liked it when it was high and tight.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, see, I like him with this longer hair.
Mm-mm.
Well, there's a Fred Ward for everybody.
Yeah. He also talks out of the side of his mouth.
He's great. Chris Garten, he replaced Kevin Bacon, but he's a wet towel, so we're just going to call him Turkey Bacon.
Yeah, he is.
I thought it was the... I kept saying it. He looks like the dude from National Treasure. He looks like Riley. He looks
no
like
way.
Riley.
No.
Leave Justin Bartha alone.
Okay, I didn't say he was acting like... I just said he looks like him,
no,
I think.
No, he's cuter than that.
Mm.
And we have a Helen Shaver, and she is a Quad Pro Quo alum from the Amityville Horror. She was in that movie, and she directed a bunch of your
oh
SVU episodes.
Oh my god, she was in Amityville. I recognize her from The Craft. She's Veruza Balk's mom in The Craft.
Yes!
Who was she in that shit?
She's awful.
In shit Caroline? House show.
She's the...
The babysitter?
No, she's the psychic or something, or it's like a... I can't remember. She's the one who, like, they find the stuff in the basement. She's like, get out of the house. Like, yeah, that's her.
All right, well, I'm going to need to watch that clip again to see if she actually was good enough to be Miss Playmate October 1974.
Does she wear mom jeans in all of those other movies just like she does in this movie?
Yeah, they are pretty high.
They're so high.
Yeah.
They were not flattering.
I don't know. I thought her butt looked good.
You did?
They spent a lot of time focused on it. And I mean, Fred Ward's butt.
Fred Ward pulled the jeans off better than she did.
Okay.
Agreed. I agree with that.
He kept them on the whole time, Matt. Stop. So here, this is really hard for me. My print is small, but this is, you know, I'm sorry to start this with a bit more of a somber note, okay? So, you know, with respect, I give you this. We start this movie with the tragic demise of our dear old friend, Thomas Rosales Jr. What can I say about Thomas Rosales Jr.? Well, he was a man of few words, but great deeds, a devoted father, selfless volunteer. He worked tirelessly in the oil fields of Mexico, a place where few would dare to tread. His reputation as a kind and hardworking man spread like wildfire across the region. In a place where the sun burned hot and the soil smelled like gasoline and metal, Thomas was a beacon of hope. Every day he worked alone, his calloused hands steady as he maintained the aging oil rigs, ensuring everything ran smoothly and safely. He didn't seek recognition. No, he didn't need it. His happiness was found in his family's smile, in the feeling of doing a job well, in the knowledge that his small acts of kindness made a difference. But the work in the oil fields was dangerous. The land was untouched by the modern, raw and untamed. The crew at the site often spoke in hushed tones about the strange sounds they'd sometimes heard deep beneath the earth. There were whispers of tremors, strange rumbles that shook the ground without any cause. It was on the morning of his last day that Thomas heard it for the first time. He had arrived early, as usual, to check the pumps, make sure everything was running smoothly. The sky was a steel pale blue, and the air had the dry heat that made breathing feel like inhaling hot dust. He worked without hesitation, a quiet rhythm of hands and steel. The ground beneath him trembled, just a slight shift, a rattle that set his bones on edge. Thomas paused, looked down at the cracked earth beneath his boots. He listened. The rumbling came again, stronger this time, like the distant growl of something huge, something ancient. He was about to move toward the drill site when the earth split wide open. A massive shape burst forth, a creature out of the forgotten past. Its body was long, segmented with jagged, writhing limbs and a mouth filled with countless teeth. The prehistoric graboid had emerged, hungry and furious, its body undulating with terrifying speed. Thomas couldn't react. It lunged at him, its enormous jaws snapping shut with a deafening crack. The last thing Thomas saw was the ground swallowing him whole, the earth around him vibrating as the beast dragged him beneath the surface. There was no fight, there was no scream, just the horrifying certainty that he was being consumed by something older than the world itself. But the memory of Thomas Rosales Jr. lingered, as bright and enduring as the love he had shown to those around him. The man who worked alone, who gave all he had for others, was remembered not for his tragic end, but for the life that he lived. Thomas Rosales Jr. had given everything, and in the end, 3 minutes into the movie, he was swallowed whole, not just by the earth, but by the very legacy of his selflessness.
Can you write my eulogy?
Yeah, I feel like you've missed your calling as a writer, Guido.
Yeah.
That was excellent.
That's actually better written than the movie.
That was an excellent, excellent eulogy for a character that doesn't talk at all.
600 words, 3 minutes into the
movie. Wow.
So I've seen this movie so many times, and I've watched this one man die so quickly every time. And it's like, what did he do? What is his character? Where did he come from? Why is he here? Yes, the Spanish man is working in the oil fields, but he had a family. He did things.
We heard all of your...
He had a beard.
Thoughts of him.
He gets stepped on in Lost, in the Jurassic Park 2 sequel as well. He gets stepped on by the Tyrannosaurus Rex.
This poor man is being terrorized by monsters his entire career.
Yeah, it's true.
Sounds like it was voluntary.
I'm sorry, he sounds like a loser.
Yeah.
We don't want
he's not a bad hombre.
We don't want that bad hombre coming over here. Graboids can grab him, and as long as he grabs him over there and keeps him in Mexico.
Good God.
That's all I'm saying about that.
That's accurate.
Sounds about right.
So, years after the events of the first film, Kevin Bacon moved away. He married Reba McEntire.
He married Reba?
No.
Did he
no,
marry?
No, he didn't.
Yeah, I did.
I thought he married the geologist.
Hey, yeah.
Listen, I'm just trying to live my truth.
She was at the Mahoning drive-in last week.
This is my interpretation.
Reba McEntire?
No, the geologist.
So, while Earl Bassett, he has squandered his fortune on lesbian ostriches.
Oh, this is his truth.
Yeah, so...
Yes.
One
yes.
day... Well, yeah, I get to give you the movies through the lens of my eyes.
Yes. Right? Ostriches.
I'm going to change my vote for the rage. I'm going to pass it now. No, I'm kidding.
Wait a second. So, one day he is approached by Carlos Ortega, who informs him that graboids are back. and they're killing his workers in the oil fields in Chiapas, Mexico, and hires him to hunt them down. Earl initially declines, but Ortega's taxi driver, Grady Hoover, we've called him Turkey Bacon, convinces Earl to change his mind after mentioning that Ortega is willing to pay 50 G's for each graboid killed. So he takes one long look at the wallpaper on his refrigerator in his double wide, and he agrees.
Miss October 1974.
Yep, it's on his wall.
That's an important plot point. Remember it.
You know, I have an appreciation for, you know, sexy mature
titties.
Women. Like, oh, so, upon arrival, Earl learns that the company would pay him double if he caught one of the creatures alive. He also meets a geologist, Kate Riley, her assistant Julio, and a mechanic named Pedro.
She's also dressed exactly like Sam Neill is in Jurassic Park. She's got the hat, she has the bandana around her neck, she's wearing a blue button down. Like, it's the exact same outfit as Sam Neill.
Every archaeologist, geologist, whatever.
Paleontologist
wanted to dress like that after Jurassic Park.
I guess that's true.
Just like in the 80s, all the archaeologists wore a fedora and a leather jacket.
Oh.
Yes, and all these guys are scientifically investigating the graboids, and they all knew Thomas Rosales Jr. very well. Still in mourning they are.
Oh.
Earl, in his Canadian tuxedo sans belt and Turkey Bacon, begins systematically killing the graboids by using remote-controlled cars with dynamite taped to them.
How many of those remote-controlled cars do you think they had?
Well, they just have to ask for more.
I know,
They have an infinite amount of RC cars.
Okay. Because, I mean, it blows up every time, so...
Yeah, just imagine hundreds of them.
They just talked a lot about the dynamite, because, like, when Who's About to Come into the Movie comes into the movie, he's like, you had the whole... Get whatever you want, and you only got one box of dynamite. So I want to know how many RC cars did they ask for?
Based on one box, I'd say about a couple dozen.
Yeah.
I'd say a couple dozen, because you can hear their tally go up.
That's true.
So they're killing these in the dozens.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm small.
What size font is it?
12.
Oh.
That's the normal.
So apparently...
Yeah, but it's Comic Sans because I'm an asshole.
Yes, apparently the picture of the playmate featured in the movie is
not
actually...
It's from the 1970s.
September 1970 Debbie Ellison.
So this whole movie is a lie.
Well,
there went my vote.
Are her titties in it?
No, I'll try and find a picture. But
okay.
Miss October 1974 was Esther Cordette, who doesn't even look remotely like Helen.
Oh, because she's Asian?
I don't know. Her name is Esther.
Esther's a super hot name. They drive around the fields in their truck, towing a long chain to make a lot of noise. As soon as they see one of the graboids on radar, they stop, deploy an RC bomb truck, and blow it the fuck up. They got to use umbrellas to protect themselves from falling guts. Though their strategy seems to work, one of the graboids gets a hold of the chain and takes them for a little ride. Eventually, the vast number of graboids overwhelms them, and Earl enlists the help of Bert Gummer. It's got to be my top 10 favorite characters from any movie ever.
He's pretty great.
And he's been great. Bert.
I mean, when you literally only have one role.
It's true.
You
better do it well.
Alex P. Keaton's dad.
Fucking nailed it. He's nailing it. I mean, he arrives in a deuce and a half truck loaded with guns and explosives. He even has a 50 caliber anti-tank gun. Fucking badass. Bert is the best. He's the best in all the movies, I think.
Only thing in all the movies.
It's true.
I have a tattoo. WWBGD. What would Bert Gummer do?
It's
usually grab the next biggest gun.
He showed up at they do that thing in the Twin Peaks thing every year. Yeah, they did something this past year to celebrate like the 30th anniversary of Tremors, and he drove through like the town.
Perfection.
Yeah.
And off screen, he's a pretty wholesome guy. Real talk, no embellishments. The guy's a good guy.
In the fourth one, when they go back in time, the town's called Rejection.
It is. We read that in the notes.
And then I was like, I'm not paying $15 to watch this.
He offers the boys a pair of double-barreled elephant rifles that will break your collarbone if you don't hold them right. Back at base, Dingbat Kate determines that the graboids are from the Precambrian era, which no life existed at that point, so what the fuck did they eat, Kate? Out in the field, Bert...
They ate kale. Oh.
Nobody eats kale.
Cambrians do.
Out in the field, Bert uses little RC tanks, and C4 to hunt his graboids, and apparently 4 pounds of C4 might be a little excessive.
One of them that they blow up is super duper liquidy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like it looks like
it's like pink.
Like
snot.
A wet fart.
A lot of pumpkins, a lot of cantaloupes and watermelons died in this movie, I tell you.
It's normally chunky and it rains the chunk down. One they blow up and it literally looks like exploding a lava cake.
Some of their stuff fermented out there and
yeah.
They
had, it was gross. It was like
so this was supposed to be a bigger movie and it was supposed to be filmed in Australia. Reba was on tour and Kevin Bacon
said fuck you, I'm doing Apollo 13 now. Bye.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, yeah, it was Apollo 13.
Looked it up because he asked before he watched it. He was like, why didn't he come back? And I was like, because he didn't need to, because he was Kevin Bacon at that point. Like, he was Kevin Bacon before Tremors because he had done stuff in the 80s, but then between when the first Tremors came out and this one came out, we looked it up. He had been in A Few Good Men, he had been in Apollo 13, he had been in like another big movie. It's like he didn't need this movie. He did the first one because his wife got pregnant and they needed money.
Had they had come to him and asked him to do a Tremors sequel like right after he did Hollow Man or Stir of Echoes, he would be like, hell yeah, I'm all about it.
First of all, those two are
needed money.
Those two movies are great. I don't know what you're talking about. Hollow Man especially, masterpiece.
That's got rape. That was not that good.
I always thought it would be cool to be invisible and grab a boob, but then I was told by women that are important to me that that's rape, so that's not cool.
He rapes two people in that movie. But he like legitimately rapes that woman in her bedroom.
Then you also see invisible gorilla peen.
You see his peen in it.
But also gorilla peen.
Yeah.
Stunt cock.
Not on Kevin Bacon.
Not on the gorilla either.
You can see his wiener in quite a few movies.
There you go, Kev.
Oh yeah. Wild Things, Full Frontal.
Land pipe.
He's pretty, you know.
He's thick cut bacon.
He's working with quite a Philly cheesesteak.
He's got a hog?
Yeah, I mean, it's quite
impressive.
Would
you say he's actually slab bacon?
He is. He is.
How do you even know this stuff?
Because he showed his wiener in movies.
Wiener. The next day, Earl and Turkey Bacon are surprised by one of the graboids, causing them to drive backwards in a panic and crash the truck into a ditch. Returning to where they saw the graboid, Earl and Turkey Bacon find that the creature looks sick, non-aggressive, all the tentacles are mysteriously lifeless. Realizing they have one of the creatures alive, Ortega offered them 100 G's if they could capture one alive, they call Pedro to come and pick them up. However, later that night, as they wait, the graboid begins making horrific, painful sounds. It sounds like it has a tummy ache. So they go and they check on it, and they find that it's dead, with a huge hole torn open into its body. Bloody worm guts coat the ground. The steaming pile of viscera looks as though something exploded out of the worm. They see Pedro's truck across the...
Wait, hold on. Just let me just prepare myself again if you're about to do a whole monologue about Pedro.
Are you going
to
do a whole monologue about Pedro?
Pedro Fantasio, or whatever his name is. The innocent truck driver who was just there to help his fellow man drive across and move machinery from point A to point B. Who also donated money for cleft palate reconstruction and loved the Pope very much.
He likes the new Pope even better because he's an American who likes baseball.
I gave myself more than a day to do my notes and we could be here longer. I would definitely flush out the rest of these little Spaniards.
These little obituaries for these blue collar workers.
Who is looking out for these people?
There's no one.
Union.
You are.
Guido does.
I care.
Guido cares.
I think Guido's a loser for doing this.
Fuck that clown. They see Pedro's truck approach from the distance, but it suddenly stops, prompting Turkey Bacon and Earl to investigate and discover the truck's destroyed engine bay and Pedro's ripped off forearms attached to the truck's roof.
He was holding on to the truck and apparently his last words were, Guy Guido monologued about earlier. I miss you.
His name
is Robert Paulson. Yeah,
was Thomas Rosales Jr. Okay? Don't forget. Never forget.
Never forget. TRJ.
Oh, for shit's sake.
They make their way to a nearby radio broadcasting building, which has similarly been destroyed. Oh no! Only to be met by strange bipedal graboid-like creatures we will learn later, are called Shriekers, according to the script. Earl!
They're so cute.
I called them mini Graboids.
I just called them stupid.
Yeah, they are stupid.
Yeah, but they don't know that.
They don't.
They don't. They're just...
They're just little guys.
They're just little babies.
Little chicken.
It's better than what apparently comes in the next ones, because we saw from the trailers, they got butt shooters or whatever they call them.
They were flying in the Frozen one.
They call them...
Scramblers.
Or they call them, like, butt fire.
Yeah, it was crazy. The names were insane.
Earl successfully kills one of the Screechers? Shriekers?
Shriekers.
Stupid.
With his huge safari rifle as it charges at him. But the two flee in a car they had found as more of the creatures arrive.
It's a huge gun.
They are serious.
It's the gun from...
Is it the elephant gun from the first one?
It's the elephant gun from Jumanji. They stopped making those in 1912. Yeah,
they're firing bullets that are
huge.
Over
he, like,
a half
you
inch.
See them. They're like huge. Why?
That's what he said.
Meanwhile, Bert's truck is ambushed by a pack of Shriekers while returning to base. The following morning, the creatures have made their way to the oil refinery. Julio speaks to Kate through a window so that a Shrieker can trot up behind him and viciously chew his legs off.
Yeah, and his wiener, probably.
You know he was training for a half marathon?
Was he?
For the March of Dimes?
Not with the... He can't now. So, the, doesn't have any legs.
Or El Marcho de Dimo. Tommy
so,
Lee Jones, Jr.
Kate holds him... Pedro. Is it Pedro? No, Julio, sorry. Kate holds Julio until he goes limp.
Wow, this
she
guy's
drops
just
him.
Like, don't forget the name, and he can't even remember the name of the other guy.
My writing is small. Stop. She
your
drops him when...
Your typing is small, not your writing.
Hmm, all right.
Your mind is small.
You got shell on it.
She drops him when she realizes she's just holding a bucket of chum. Turkey Bacon and Earl arrive before it can attack Kate, with Bert shortly arriving thereafter following a near-fatal firefight that has left him drained of ammunition that has never happened to him before and will never happen to him again.
It is pretty funny.
I mean,
he says
I'm pretty
that.
Sure it happened to him before. That's why Reba left him.
Oh.
He ran out of ammo.
No. She left him because the end of the fucking Cold War, and she said he didn't know how to act if he isn't under the threat of thermonuclear war.
She did say that.
It's also because his dick doesn't work.
Oh, no.
Bert Gummer's dick works great.
Is that because he has the biggest balls?
Of the friend group?
Yeah.
He's got the biggest balls, but also...
I don't know.
I want you to know the Kiss song Love Gun hands. Was actually about Bert Gummer's dick.
Mm. I have seen Kevin Bacon's, and they're pretty nice.
His balls?
I mean, you can kind of see them.
Are they like pork jowls? I'm just going with bacon.
Did you see them now? Did you see them like circa 2025?
Yeah,
you know
circa 1980.
What? No, like Wild Things. So like 98.
Okay, you know that Kevin Bacon's balls touch the water when he sits on a toilet,
loose,
right?
Footloose.
Oh, that's the 80s. Those are 80s bacon balls.
Through experimentation, the group discovers that these creatures, now dubbed Shriekers, of course, are stupid. Actually Jamie Lee Curtis's, possessing both male and female genitalia.
I said that when we were watching it. I was like, they really missed their chance casting Jamie Lee Curtis as the scientist. I'm sorry, Jamie Lee Curtis. I don't believe that about you, but...
Amazing.
Because they're hermaphrodites.
Because they were all sitting there macking on MREs, and they ate so much they gave birth.
Well, I said they were like gremlins, like you don't feed them after midnight.
In short, they can replicate at an incredible rate after monster coitus and eating enough food. They also learn that the creatures cannot hear, unlike their predecessors or Nate, but rather see heat through special infrared receptors on their heads.
God.
Is that how Nate sees?
Yes. He has heat vision.
He lifts up his hair and that weird brain paint comes out. That's it?
Oh my gosh.
So fucking dumb.
They are attacked by Shriekers who have discovered Bert's MRE food supply and have rapidly doubled their numbers in a matter of minutes.
No.
They run for Julio's truck, God bless him, and have to hide behind loose interior doors as they cross the street. Almost there, but there's one more Shrieker in the way. Bert says, stand aside, I got this. He aims his gigantic anti-tank rifle and sends a round through the great beast, splitting it in half from the sheer force.
When it happened, I was like, cool.
Yeah, he did like this.
That's awesome.
Did you see... Okay, so you know when he shot that rifle, the glass broke? Did you see the guy inside the building with a little tiny ball peen hammer smash the glass?
No.
If you were to ever watch it again, you can clearly see him.
I'm going to have to watch it again just for that now.
Yeah, it was actually Thomas Aurelius Marcus.
Julio?
Have some respect, okay? From Thomas Rosales Jr.
Thomas Rosales Jr.
So he says So unfortunately, the bullet pierces the concrete wall behind it, a tool shed, several oil barrels, and finally the engine block of the truck they wanted to use. Bert says, I swear penetration is very rarely an issue. Hiding
Tell
from
that to Reba.
Hiding from the shriekers, Bert is trapped in a bulldozer bucket while Turkey Bacon, Kate, and Earl are on top of an oil tower.
Hey, I've seen this one. It's a classic.
The shriekers work together in an attempt to climb the tower before Bert lures them and traps them in the storage shed with the truck. However, the shriekers soon discover the rice flour is stored inside, and that enables the shriekers to continue eating and fucking and multiplying. Earl then, big brain move, douses himself in CO2 from a fire extinguisher to also hide his body heat.
Also seen this part.
Very smart, very smart.
Like, he obviously watches movies.
He obviously watched Predator. And Predator 2!
He tries to find Bert's explosives amongst the shriekers' freak-off. While the plan initially works, the CO2 quickly wears off. The shriekers detect his body heat despite the super hot orgy.
His butt. It was his butt.
Did you notice they detected his ass first?
They detected his flaring asshole.
in them jeans.
His hot ass!
It winked at me. Forcing Earl to throw the detonator among Bert's supplies as he escapes. The group manages to flee before a massive explosion devastates the entire facility, destroying all of the shriekers with it. In the aftermath, Earl and Kate decide to pursue working on each other's nipples like radio dials.
Mm. Oh my god.
While Turkey Bacon suggests opening up a monster-themed park.
He's gonna lose all his money.
I'm also really sad that giant explosion destroyed the memorial to Thomas Morales Rosario Jr.
And Bert only looks forward to spilling more Graboid blood, and they all continue to mourn their late friend, Thomas Rosales Jr. Never forget.
RSVP.
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 Matt, what'd you think? Can I get a pass, bro? Come on.
Oh, no. Love Potion never died.
Come on, it's fun.
Oh, you know, as much as I enjoyed listening, hearing about Thomas Rosales Jr.
Is that even his name?
That's what he said. That's is that the character's name?
That's the character's name.
The character has a name even though he doesn't say anything?
He played himself.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's the actor's name, too? RSVP.
No. It's still a fail for me. I'll tell you what would have given a pass.
You're just gonna get haunted by a ghost. But
I'll tell you what would have.
Very disrespectful to Thomas Rosales Jr.
As much as I respect Thomas Rosales Jr., if they had ended the movie right then and there, then I would have passed it. Because then I wouldn't have been introduced to Turkey Bacon.
Yeah, I warned you about Turkey Bacon.
And I'm like, well, you know what? Hey, it is a sequel, and the sequels are always supposed to try and outdo the first one. And I was like, there's no way they could find a character that was more annoying than that fucking kid in the first movie. But they found a way.
Turkey Bacon.
Life finds a way with Turkey Bacon. Had Turkey Bacon died, I would have passed it. Turkey Bacon did not die.
Yeah, he would have been good food.
Turkey Bacon did not die, so it's a no.
So just like in real life, you don't like Turkey Bacon.
Don't like
it. It's not good.
I like it.
Allie, did you pass the movie you've seen a bunch?
I do pass it.
Sweet!
I love Tremors. I don't care that they're bad. I think it's fun. I like the little baby Graboids, and I like to watch things blow up.
Yeah, explosion's nice.
And I like Fred Ward and Bert, and they're great.
I liked all
Turkey Bacon is annoying.
No, fuck that guy.
I warned him.
I'm sorry. I hated Turkey Bacon so much, it outweighed everything else that I liked about it.
Because he asked, he was like, are there annoying kids? I'm like, no, but the guy who replaces Kevin Bacon is incredibly annoying. But I still pass it because I think it's fun.
Tammy.
Nope.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're a bitch.
All
right. Well, we're now going to... Oh, God.
Thank you for, describing and expanding upon your no.
I asked Brett Parker which movie he would have done of our pick, or which sequel he would have done of movies we picked, and he said he probably would have done Jaws 2, or...
Out of all the Jaws sequels, he would have done the second one.
I said I would have done the fourth one. He was like, woof. I was like, I know. But you get Michael Caine.
The third one.
Yeah, that's how we know that this
guy... The third one is so awful.
That's the one.
God, yeah. It's so bad.
Brett, you're never getting that free sandwich.
No more free sandwiches.
We're not letting you do another
round. You will get one, but it'll have turkey bacon on it.
Yeah.
So we're now going to rank all four picks of our Quad Pro Quo Sequels Month. What did I do again?
You did Halloween... Did you say we're not? No, you said we're now.
Oh,
yeah.
H2O.
I did Halloween H2O 20 years later.
I did Lone Wolf and Cub, : Baby Cart at the River Styx, * Baby Cart in the Land of Demons.
I just said, oh, baby cart.
Dude, we,
baby
I cart. Just, I want baby you to
cart.
Know
baby
that
cart.
Tammy and I watched the right movie since then, and we like that as well.
Oh, that's okay? good. That's good.
Okay.
Tammy, what'd you do?
I did The Rage, Carrie 2.
And Guido.
Any punctuation in there?
It is a colon in between
The Rage, colon, Carrie 2.
Carrie 2.
Yeah, that movie was a Rage, colon.
I did, obviously, Tremors 2, colon, Aftershocks.
We all have colons in our...
We're big... Hey, we're into butts.
We're into butts.
You know who
we're
else,
butt people.
You know who else was into butts? Thomas Rosales.
Thomas Rosales Jr.
Thomas Rosales Jr. I will forever remember you, Thomas Rosales Jr.
All right, I will go first. Okay, I'm going to go best to worst.
Best to worst.
Yeah, okay. So I'll go baby cart.
Is best?
Yeah.
All right.
I will go Halloween, and then I will go Tremors, and then I will go Carrie.
Okay.
I'll go next. I'll also go from best to worst. I will go, again, I will go baby cart.
Baby cart.
Baby cart, The River Styx.
Do, 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 do.
I will then go Tremors 2.
What?
I will then go Halloween H2O, and then The Rage, colon.
Okay. I'm gonna do The Baby Cart with the Demons.
The Baby Cart with the Demons.
I'm gonna do The Halloweens. I'm gonna do The Rage.
Oh, no.
And then I'm gonna do Tremors.
Thomas Rosales Jr. See? You died in vain.
That's even more disrespectful than me failing it.
I love TRJ.
All right, Guido. Go ahead.
No, moving on. So, I like the most Tremors 2.
Lies.
Asshole.
Lies.
And the one that I liked the second most was the baby carts. Both of them.
Both of them.
And then the slow Halloween. And the fucking guy that shuffles. And then your fucking movie. Jamie.
All right. The baby cart with baby the demons. Cart. And
baby cart wins the month. Congratulations, Matt.
Oh, Daigaro.
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 Sorry, Thomas Rosales Jr.
I can fail my movie and win, you fucker. And he took that personally.
You know what?
I ranked
in
second.
If it makes you two feel any better, you're tied for second.
Who?
Guido and Allie.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, nah, I'm not going to lie. I sat there, I'm like, it's going to be real. Because, of course, I liked my own movie. I'm not Amityville over here. But then I did not.
You didn't like any of the other movies. You failed all the other movies.
Well, by varying.
Fine, be that way.
By varying degrees. Had Turkey Bacon died, I would have passed it.
Okay.
But it was still my favorite out of the other three.
All right. Well, congratulations, baby cart. Do you think that woman is still walking backwards? Well, we are going to, you know, June's kind of our rest and relaxation month.
Yeah.
Where we prep for our next season. But we are going to release a special episode celebrating our third anniversary because we will have been doing this for 3 years.
That's
in June.
Wild.
Wild. And when we tried to celebrate our second anniversary, we tried to do this once before and we lost the recording. So we're going to try it again. And we're going to do a recording of The Silence of the Lambs, which is where we got the name of our podcast, the Quid Pro Quo Scene. That episode will come out probably in the middle of June. So either the 12th or the 19th, depending on our schedule. And Silence of the Lambs came out in 1991, and it was directed by Jonathan Demme, and it stars... Why am I blanking on
Jodie Foster.
Good, here we go.
Anthony Hopkins.
There we go. Thank you.
Levine, Scott Glenn.
I only needed one. That was fine. And you can watch it on Max. You can watch it...
Fuck it. It's one of the greatest movies
you
ever made.
You should just own it.
You should have it on... Yeah.
Unless you're my mom and it's not allowed in her house.
True. And we might have a special guest on that episode as well. So that's going to be,
June's... throwing that out there. John, if you're not going to be on our episode, you're a bitch.
All right.
You're a bitch.
June's going to be a little quieter month for us, but we will be releasing our third anniversary episode.
For Dale.
No, not for Dale.
Did we ever share the pictures we took of our trip?
I did a little bit, but I'll put together something. Oh, when we stayed in the Sounds
of
Lambs house? The Brits were very jealous. Well, we are at Quad Pro Quo Pod across Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Letterboxd. You can suggest a theme month via our website or social media, and please rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. And until you hear from us again, which is probably going to be mid-June, thank you for listening.
Bye.
Bye.